Okay. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the unity of heart and mind is like to that above. The prayer that Jesus offers in John 17 might be called, make us one. Father God, make us one. Send us into the world so that we can be a channel of your love, so that we who are wrapped in the love of Jesus, in the comforter of Christ, the Holy Spirit, so that we might go forth in the name of Jesus, not ashamed of the name that has claimed us, and willing and able to give a testimony, a witness, if you will, to the hope, the living hope that is in us. Don't be surprised. I want you to think about 1 Peter for tonight. Don't be surprised, 1 Peter says, by the fiery ordeal that is coming upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. 1 Peter has been our epistle reading for the whole season of Easter. All of these Saturday evenings that we've gathered together, we've been getting little sketches from Peter's first letter. It is written to exiles of the dispersion, to Christians living in Asia Minor that are called scattered seeds. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You have been chosen, Peter says. You have been destined and elected by God the Father, Peter says, for sprinkling with the blood of Jesus. Think about that metaphor. For sprinkling with the blood of Jesus. That's why Peter will say, to those suffering, persecuted Christians in Asia Minor, that they have a living hope that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for those who are kept by the grace of God, who participate not only in the sufferings of Jesus, but also in the glory of Jesus. St. Peter writes, don't be surprised by suffering. If you suffer as a Christian, you are blessed. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, Peter says, for you are glorifying God as you walk with Christ. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you have been called, because God also suffered for you in Christ, giving you an example that you would follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Following Jesus so that where our Master and Lord is, there we might be also. Don't be surprised, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised, Michael. Don't be surprised, Emma, when you go off to college. You might hit some bumps in the road. You might actually find that there is some persecution that comes your way in the immediate future or in the distant future, simply because God has put his mark on you, simply because you've been wrapped up in Jesus and it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Living your baptism in a world that is hostile to Jesus and to his name and his glory. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus says, I'm praying for those that you gave me, Father, because they're still in the world. And the world hates them. Did you hear that? The world hates you. Why? Because Jesus said they hated me first. If they're going to hate Jesus enough to put him on a cross, then what do you think is going to happen to those who bear the mark of Jesus? Those who are wrapped in his love and testify to that love in this world, in daily life. Don't be surprised. Parents, when your kids come home from college, don't be surprised when they say, you never believe how hard it is on campus to be a Christian. to live my faith. There's so many challenges. There's so much testing going on out there. The world is really strong. In fact, in our second reading for tonight, did you catch the metaphor that Peter uses? Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a little kitty cat. Isn't that cute? Put it up on your lap and let's pet it for a while. That's not the cat. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. A lion that is stalking, that is on the move, that is hungry. And you think it's going to stop and say, well, I didn't see anything that I like. I think I'll just wait maybe till tomorrow or next week. The lion keeps prowling until it finds its prey and devours it. You have been chosen by God for sprinkling in the blood of Jesus. Don't be surprised. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Suffering as a Christian, Peter says, bearing witness to the glory of God. But not all suffering that we endure is suffering that comes because we're a Christian. I mean, let's face it, sin in and of itself makes life hell, right? There is all kinds of suffering that happens in this world. You never know when it's going to happen. You could be out driving on the road and somebody decides to come across the center way, or they simply are coming the wrong way on a one-way. You never know when it's going to happen. All creation, Paul says, is groaning in travail as creation awaits the adoption of God's sons and daughters, the redemption of our souls. Suffering. Sometimes there is a correlation between what we do and what we get. Or as Paul would say, God is not mocked, we reap what we sow. Sometimes that's the case with suffering, isn't it? I mean, imagine, I'm not going to floss my teeth. I'm not going to brush my teeth. You can't make me. And then you go to the dentist and he says, well, you got a mouth full of cavities. That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt not only in the mouth, it's going to hurt in the pocketbook. And you go, that's not fair. Well, you chose to drink a whole bunch of sweet food and sweet drinks, right? And not to brush or floss. You thought that this wouldn't happen? You think that this is somehow strange? I've known people over the years that sometimes don't always make the best choices. They might drive in excess of the speed limit. Don't be surprised if someday law enforcement catches you and you get a ticket and you say, $450? Well, what did you expect? Don't be surprised as though something strange is happening to you, right? A lot of times in life, the choices that we make reap certain consequences for ourselves. Don't show up for work? Oh, you probably won't get a promotion. You might get a pink slip. Don't pay your rent. And you might get evicted. And sometimes the suffering that comes upon us or others is because of an action of another. I've seen kids battle learning disabilities in school. Some kids that were fetal alcohol syndrome babies. I've seen small children that have grown up with respiratory problems because during pregnancy or in the home, mom drank alcohol or mom and dad were smoking and secondhand smoke resulted in respiratory problems. Don't be surprised, Peter says. I mean, suffering is inevitable. You don't have to go looking for it. Because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, suffering will find you. In fact, here's what you ought to be surprised about, Peter would say. You're not suffering? You're not suffering? You're not being persecuted for the name of Jesus? Well, maybe you better crawl back in the water, Peter would say. Because in the name of Jesus, you can expect to suffer. It's just part of the deal. And I realize that most of the time when we have little kids that get baptized, We don't hang it on the font that says hazardous, lethal. What did you expect? Peter says, baptism now saves you, not as a washing away of dirt, but as an appeal for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Resurrection from the dead. Suffering producing glory. That's the package deal. So don't be ashamed when you suffer as a Christian for the name of Jesus. But then Peter will say, but not all suffering is suffering as a Christian. Remember John 9? Jesus and his disciples are by the pool of Siloam, and they see a man who is blind. In fact, he was born blind. And right away, the disciples assume that if you connect the dots, there has to be somebody who's guilty, somebody to blame. Who sinned, Jesus? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. It wasn't this man, and it wasn't his parents. Let's see what God can do to manifest his glory. This is an occasion for witnessing the glory of God. Think about that. This is an occasion for witnessing, seeing and observing, for witnessing, testifying, naming it for the glory of God. A beautiful double nuance, isn't it? That's what suffering is for us. When we suffer as a Christian in the name of Jesus, it is an opportunity for us to bear witness, to see God's glory, and to testify to the glory of God. Suffering. Sometimes people suffer for the name of Jesus. I read an article yesterday. It's about a man who owns a bakery. His name is Jack Phillips in Colorado. And there was a lawsuit brought against him in 2012 because he refused to make a wedding cake. His religious convictions say that marriage is one man and one woman. And so when two gentlemen came in and wanted him to make a wedding cake that put two guys on the top, he said, I can't do that. That's contrary to my faith. It's contrary to my beliefs. Well, he got sued. And just this past week, the court case, which would be the Civil Rights Commission of Colorado, said that he needs to go to some sensitivity training quarterly, and that he needs to stop being prejudiced against gay people. And he said, I'm not prejudiced against gay people. He said, I've got friends that are gay people. He said, I just happen to believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and I want to be able to live my faith. And if I can't do that, well, you'll have to lock me up or put me out of business. Jack Phillips isn't making wedding cakes anymore. He doesn't need to. You know why? Because the body of Christ, when one member suffers, all suffer together. When one member is honored, all rejoice together. The body of Christ in Colorado have rallied there. They're buying his cookies, they're buying his brownies, they're buying all of his baked goods. So he said, I don't need to even worry about making wedding cakes anymore. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that comes your way. As though something strange were happening to you, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. Pastor Marshall Hahn, he's a member of the Iowa Mission District that provides support to Emmanuel here. He went over to Ethiopia for 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, he preached 8 sermons. I mean, they kept them busy. Now, you know, Ethiopian Evangelical Church, Makene Yesus, largest, fastest growing Lutheran body in the world. I mean, it's just amazing what these people are doing over there. And when they went over there, they found out that the people are struggling financially. You know why? I mean, I thought about tonight that maybe what we should do is just encourage people to write on an extra check that we can send in specifically for the Makene Yesus Church. They are standing on the authority of God's word about marriage and sexuality. And because of that, The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Lutheran Church of Sweden, have pulled up all their support for the orphanages, for the places that are ministering to children with HIV and AIDS, for the schools, all of these humanitarian things now, all of that funding has been removed. Simply because Ethiopian Christians, Mekane Yesus, have said, we believe that sexuality is a sacred gift from God and to be expressed only between a man and a woman, a husband and wife in Christian marriage. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that comes upon you as though something strange is happening to you. I'm convinced you're going to see more and more of this down the road. Here's another story. Any of you ever listened to any of the stuff from Voice of the Martyrs? I just read this story yesterday. Her name is Miriam. Miriam is 27 years old. She was raised by an Ethiopian Christian mother. Her dad was Muslim, and he abandoned the family when Miriam was only 6 years old. Miriam is over in Sudan. And if you know anything about what's happening in Sudan, it's pretty brutal there. Well, on May 15th, Miriam was found guilty of apostasy and adultery because she's married to a Christian man and they have two children. That's adultery because you can't have sexual relations, even if he is your husband, if he is an infidel and not a Muslim. And then she's going to get 100 lashes for that offense. But on top of that, because of apostasy, because they say that she needs to be a Muslim because her father was a Muslim, even though she was raised by a Christian mother, and even though the father abandoned her, she is going to be executed by hanging. But here's the amazing thing over in Sudan. She just had her second child on May 25th, little Maya, M-A-Y-A. And here they have this 27-year-old mother, Miriam, who is also a physician. She's a doctor. Her husband is muscular dystrophy and in a wheelchair. I mean, so they're knowing suffering all over the place. She's locked up in jail in stocks, and then she has her 20-month-old son with her in prison because her husband, who is a Christian, is declared unfit to care for his own son. And now the government is going to wait for 2 years. They're going to wait until she recovers from just having delivered a baby on May 25th before they give her the 100 lashes. And then they're going to wait for 2 years before they execute her by hanging so that this new baby has a chance, you know, to get established and be weaned. And during the trial, three times she was asked by the court, the Sudanese court, to recant her faith in Jesus. All she had to do was say, I take back my faith in Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. That's all she had to say. And she would have been spared. Don't be surprised. Did you know that every hour, 11 Christians are being martyred somewhere in the world for their faith in Jesus Christ? That's more than 250 every day. That's more than 95,000 every year. Christianity, if you didn't know this, and this is true, is the number one persecuted religion in the world. Persecuted Christians in 130 nations. You know what the second most persecuted group of people is? Muslims in 117 countries. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that is coming upon you as though something strange is happening to you. St. Peter ends his letter with these words. And after you have suffered for a little while, you see, suffering, no matter how hard it is, I mean, eventually the tests are passed, you get the finals, the papers and stuff. I mean, no matter how brutal the 4 years of college might be, etc., eventually you get over the hill or around the bend, right? And after you have suffered for a little while, Peter says, because in the big scheme of things, suffering in the name of Jesus is a blessing. And it's just a little sliver of time compared to eternity that God has prepared for those who love him, who are tied down to Jesus for eternity. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself establish, confirm, keep you steadfast in his love. And then Peter ends with these words, to God be the power forever and ever. Amen. And then the epilogue, the last words of his letter, peace to you who are in Christ Jesus. Don't be surprised when you suffer as a Christian, and don't be ashamed. It is the glory of Jesus in the flesh of his beloved body. Amen.